Turn your Bible this morning to Genesis chapter 3. That's not our text, but we're fixing to be there. Why the cross? That's our subject today. Why the cross? Last Sunday we talked about take up your cross, right? Why the cross? In John 19:17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Christ had a cross. What a cross, folks. This past week, Faye and I listened to a telecast that had been recorded some time ago. It talked about the victims that's nailed to a cross. I tell you what, it's sickening. It's sickening how the Lord was treated with his cross. Have you ever wondered why the cross of Christ? Why did Christ have to bear a cross? There's a reason. In the beginning of God's creation, he made everything beautiful and perfect. I look out my front yard today. We got about 75 azalea bushes blooming, 20 dogwood trees. To me, it's beautiful. God made a beautiful world. It was a perfect world. But one day, something happened to God's world. And it broke the heart of God. Suppose you had a brand spanking new automobile sitting in your front drive. You just brought it home, and somebody came by with an axe and began to strike it. Would that make you sick? That's a poor illustration or example of what happened to God's creation. In the beginning, there was not a thorn. There was not a wild animal. There was no diseases. There was no death. And Adam and Eve were blessed. They had a home and peace with God. One day, that all changed. They were offered an opportunity to become wise. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They'd not been ashamed before. Go on a couple more verses and talk about they were afraid of God and wouldn't hid. Why? They disobeyed God. I'm talking about why the cross. Sin is the reason for the cross. Can you imagine a time when there was no problems in the world? No hate, no bitterness, no anger, no diseases, no hardships. There was such a time, one time. All the problems that we experience in life is the result of man's disobedience to his Creator. All your problems, all my problems, is because of disobedience to the one that made it all. You know, when Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, when they saw they had done wrong, they couldn't undo it. When you do wrong, you can't undo it. You can say, I'm sorry, but that doesn't undo it. Right? As an old cartoon once stated, we have met the enemy, and it's we ourselves. Man is and has always been his worst enemy. It's horrible what man has done to himself, isn't it? We've done it to ourselves. Think of all the sufferings and death that man is responsible for. And if you want to get a refresher course in it, read the Old Testament. The book of Judges and Joshua. Most any of those Old Testament books. And then you turn on the news today, it's the same thing. People just can't stand one another. And yet, we all came from the same parents. We're all of the same family. Families supposed to care for one another, aren't they? And even today, local families can't get along. That's bad, isn't it? When your own kin folks can't get along. What man has done according to the Creator is sin. S-I-N. And the middle letter describes it all. I'm the problem. Sin, what an awful word. Do you ever hear anybody talk about sin? Y'all ever hear it out on your jobs, out in the public, people talk about sin? No one wants to talk about sin. And yet it's everywhere. It's all around us. Man knows what sin is, but he wants to avoid it. He don't want to admit it. Man does not want to admit he has sinned against his Creator and his Maker. God says we've sinned against him. God says, for all have sinned. I don't know about you, but that got me. God says it got all of us. Sin. A word nobody wants to talk about, yet it's affecting every one of us. It has separated every one of us from God. He's put every one of us on a journey to hell. And there's no way to get off except God's way. And what's even worse, people can be told from a pulpit like this, or from a radio or a television or from a book or a letter, that we've all sinned, and people can read over it or hear it and go right on undisturbed, unconcerned. I'm okay. But God says there's consequences for sin. Sin creates problems. It's created problems for me, I can say. Sometimes it's immediately. You can sin sometime and immediately you get the consequences. Sometimes it might be delayed, but it's down the road. Sin caused Israel to be put out of her country God gave her. God gave Israel land flowing with milk and honey. Gave it to her. But she wouldn't listen to God, and God had her put out. You know, God can give you something, and if you don't use it wisely, you don't obey Him, God can take it from you. He's God. Israel lost her land. Israel lost that temple she loved so much. It caused Israel to see Jerusalem destroyed time and time again, leveled. The city of God. Sure don't look like a city of God the way it's been treated. Because of sin. God's people, God's own people wouldn't listen to God. And folks, listen to me. Look up here at me. Look up here. We've all sinned. We better listen to God. We better listen to God. God's not playing with us. God's not an old grandpa like some grandpas let anything go. Amen? God's a holy God. Sins cause nations to cease to exist. Those nations no longer exist. God just got rid of them. And sin is the reason hell is filling up with poor lost souls. Sin against a holy God who hates sin. God sees what it's done to His creation. His creation was perfect. God sees what sin's done to me and you. And it's not pleased Him. It's broke His heart. God has warned and warned that He judges sin. But too few people are listening. Too few people are listening. God says, I'm going to judge. And the history proves God judges sin. This book is true. That's not just a book of collected writings of people that didn't have nothing to do but stand and write what they think. This is what God told them to write. Amen. Sin is against a holy God who hates sin. And God is warned and warned that He judges, and sin has marred His creation, and particularly man that He created in His own image. Think about our status. Created in the image of our Maker. Yes, sir. And what a Maker He is. What a Maker God is. Sin robs man. If someone was walking the door this morning and robbed you, you'd feel horrible, wouldn't you? Well, sin is robbing you if you let it in your life. What's so bad? We're the one that determines if sin's going to rob us or not. Amen? Sin keeps God from blessing man like he wants to bless us. God is a good God. God is a God who loves to give and give and give. God just loves to give. You can't outgive him. I'll tell you what, God is something else, folks. And we're going to have forever to learn about this God that's so good and loves us so much. But sin limits God's blessings on man. Sin limits it. The curse of sin has stayed God's hand in blessing his creation. Listen to me. The flowers are not as pretty as they could be because of sin. My azaleas are so pretty, but they're already, after several weeks of blooming, starting to fade. I don't believe in heaven that flowers will ever fade. Y'all, I'm a person, I love flowers. I even married a flower, amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, did you know the fruit trees do not bear fruit as sweet as they could be? You think about going up to that river of life and those fruit trees there with all manner of fruits on them. Now that's going to be something to sink your teeth into, folks. You know, when those Jews went to check out the promised land, those 10 spies, and they found all that fruit there and they described how good it was. Hey, won't be like that in heaven, folks. Won't be like that on the new earth. The earth does not yield its increase as God planned for it to do. God made this world where it would bear and be fruitful, but sin has limited it. Well, you just think about how much of the world is desert and can't grow nothing. Think about how much of the world is mountains where it can't grow nothing. Rocky, too rocky to grow anything. And all the oceans and seas that take up space. And on the new earth, it's all going to be land, being fruitful, coming a big change one of these mornings. Praise God. Curse of sin as man ignores God and his word affects us in our land today, folks. We heard on the news a while ago, Faye and I, about a man and his girlfriend or something or other getting in a fight or somebody else fighting. I mean, it's just fighting all the time and then killing them. People shoot you for nothing now just to look at you. I don't like you. Bang. Sin is warped man and his thinking. Sin makes the heart of man as hard as a stone. Man's heart is depraved and he's proud. He's stubborn. He's rebellious. You can't tell me what to do. It's the attitude we got too much of today. And I'm so and so. I'm important. Wait till you meet God and see how important you are. Amen. Can y'all folks imagine how it's going to be at the white throne judgment when people are begging? All these proud boasters, somebodies today, they're going to be begging. Don't throw me in that lake of fire. Won't do no good. They're going. Sin. They love sin. They wouldn't listen to this. Still, God's still pleading with man. With all this rebellion going on now, just like that article we got in our bulletin this morning about this man who claims he's even Jesus. You know, God don't want to judge that man. God wants to save that man. But I'm afraid that man won't let God save him. Man in his spiritual blindness continues to ignore God, thinking he can make it on his own. Anybody in here today think you can make it on your own? You think you don't need God? That's what disturbs me a lot of times when people are interviewed after floods and fires and great destruction. Oh, we'll rebuild or we'll start over. We're so-and-so. No humbling herself to call on God. I don't need God. I can do it. I'm bothered myself. Man in his deadness to God thinks he doesn't need God, if there is a God, some say. We got more and more people don't believe there's a God anymore because of this evolutionary teaching that's been put into the public school system over the last 150 years. People are just brainwashed. There's no God. This all just evolved. And besides, if there is a God, I'm a good person. God will accept me. I never bothered anybody. The scripture says in Psalms 10, verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Now, that's a disturbing scripture. Let me read it again. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. And God says in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. In other words, there is a God, and you can know him if you want to know him and make an effort to know him. You can find him. This thing that I don't think there's a God and you don't try to find out won't hold water at the judgment. Isaiah said in 55:6, seek you the Lord while he may be found. There's a day you can find the Lord. There's an opportunity you can know the Lord. But that opportunity will pass. Our Sunday school lesson had a little bit to say about that today. If you read all the articles that was in that lesson, God gives you a certain amount of time to get to know him. And then he cuts that time off. And because you have chosen not to know him, you can't know him. Man thinks he's okay. I'm okay. I belong to the church. I believe in God. I'm a good person. Man's not okay with this religion or with his morality. Man is not okay, not with holy God. I'm talking about why the cross? Because we're talking about sin. That's why we talk about why a cross. Because man's condition before a holy God, his sin separates him. There's a coming judgment. And there's no way to escape the judgment. Every thought, word, deed, intention, even the intentions is recorded in the books. Revelation 20, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. That's how dreadful that judgment's going to be. The heaven and earth flee from its presence. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were open. That contains the works of man. And another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. All of man's works were in those books of all the unsaved at the great white throne judgment. But over in the other book, their name was not there. How sad. Look what man has done to God's creation today. We polluted the sky. I understand that up in the atmosphere where we're sending all these satellites, they's getting a lot of garbage up there now. We polluted space. We polluted the earth. Just look at the highway outside the church. Look at the highway by your house. People throw their trash out like it's nothing. You know why they do that? They don't have to pick it up. You know something else? Not only the sky being polluted and the earth, but the oceans. Now they've finally got somebody that's taking action with that. And they're starting to try to clean up the ocean. But they found a whale recently dead. And when they examined that whale as to why it was dead, it had 40 pounds of plastic in its stomach. And they're finding that more and more with the fish and the creatures in the ocean. All this trash affecting life in the oceans. Man's trash, pollution. Is there any wonder this earth is going to be melted down one day with fire? Man's a polluter. This is what God sees in man because of who God is. He's a God of love and mercy and grace, and he determined to deal with the sin problem. And he alone has a remedy for sin, man's sin. And that's why there's a cross. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Folks, think about this. Everything that was charged against me and you, everything, every sin, every wrong, every condemnation was nailed to his cross. Do y'all understand how important that is? There is now no more condemnation to us. There is now no more sin charged to us. Do y'all understand this? Do you understand how guiltless you are now? You've been justified by faith? Because of the cross. Because of the one on that cross that God had the remedy for our sin. God's plan of salvation, devised by His wisdom and counsel in eternity past, determined that He would send His only Son to die upon the cross and shed His blood for the sins of the world. Being God, a God of love like He is, we can't even imagine how it hurt God to see what His Son went through for us, because He loved us so much. I want you to think about how much you are loved today. Not by your mate, not by your family, not by your cat or your dog. I want you to think about how much God Almighty loves you. And we cannot really envision how much God loves us. We don't have the capacity. But we ought to try to think about how much I am loved by God. As pictured in the Old Testament, sacrifices being offered as burnt offerings to God for the sins of the people, God's ultimate plan was for His only Son to die as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. Think about this. Millions of animals were sacrificed to God, and God didn't want a one of them. Not a one of them took away any sin. They just pointed to the one Lamb that could deal with sin, the Lamb of God. And I love Hebrews chapter 10, because Hebrews chapter 10 is such a precious chapter in the Word of God, where Christ offered up His body to be a sacrifice. And now He sit down at the right hand of God. And there's no more sacrifices required. Sin was dealt with one time forever. And God is now satisfied by the cross of Jesus. Amen? The cross of Jesus. Listen to me. God has allowed His only Son to pay for the sins of the entire world. Everyone's sin has already been paid for. Can you digest that statement? Everybody's sin that's ever lived, will ever live, everybody's sin has already been paid for. It's a done deal. And the only reason any person will miss heaven is because they won't ask the Lord to forgive them and accept the one that took their place and paid for their sin. Are you sure you've asked the Lord to forgive you? Are you sure you've humbled yourself and admitted, I'm that sinner Jesus died for? Better check up, make sure. You don't want to be playing church. Because God knows the difference, folks. The cross is where God judged sin. On the cross, Jesus Christ became that cursed thing itself. He became sin. And the wrath of God. Think about the wrath of God. When heavens turned black as smut, the rocks began to quake and crack as the earth shook when He died. The veil in the temple was rent. That veil was 3 to 5 inches thick, they say. And it rent from top to bottom. Open up my way so that all could come to God. The cross is where God judged sin one time forever. And now God is satisfied about sin. God has said, now if you'll accept my son, I'll forgive you. If you'll accept my son, I'll make you one of my children. If you'll accept my son, I'll let you come and live with me forever. Is God asking too much? Think of how little God is asking of us. He's just asking us to humble ourselves and recognize we are sinners and we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law demands death. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Being hung on a tree was a cursed thing in that day. But Christ was hung on a tree for me. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self, listen to this, what a precious scripture, who his own self bare our sins in his own body, church, in his own body. He had my sin and your sin and the sins of the world in his own body as he hung on the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. It's clear the stripes or the wounds of Jesus are referring to spiritual healing and not physical healing as some try to twist it. He's talking about healing your soul and my soul by the wounds of Jesus Christ. God displayed his great love for us on that cross. God not only dealt with the sin, our sin, but that cross shows you his great love for us. My, how I'm loved. He loves me more than I love myself. That's awesome to think about. The sins of all people were transferred to Jesus while he hung on the cross. He just transferred all of our sin. He just took them all and brought them and put them on his son. God, what a God. When Jesus laid his life down for the sins of the world, God was satisfied. Sin's been paid for. You see, God don't require sin to be paid for but one time. Ain't that good? But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10:12-14. Boy, what precious scriptures, folks. God is satisfied now with the sin problem. And so if any person anywhere will recognize they're a sinner as God says they are and will accept his son as their Savior, God is quick to pardon, to forgive, to cleanse, and make them a new person, giving them eternal life. Because of the cross. And only the cross could have done it. Now God has said that salvation is just by faith. Boy, isn't that something? Just by faith? I wish Daddy had said, children, I want you to pick that cotton field by faith. That didn't work, did it? But by faith I can be saved. Saved from my sin. Sin to live forever. I'm going to live forever, Brother Chavis. I'm going to live forever, Brother Johnny. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. And one of these days there won't be any problems. For by grace are you saved through faith. Think about that. For by grace, the grace of God, I didn't deserve to be saved. But God saved me. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. He even gives me the faith to believe so I can be saved. How does he do that, preacher? By this word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. You got to get under the sound of this word and believe what this word says. And you can be saved because of the cross. Because of the cross. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You believe what this book says? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, the people that could know the Lord today. Oh, the people today that could enjoy the Lord today. Oh, the people today that their problems would be just diminished today. So many of their problems if they come to the Lord. If they come to the Lord. Why the cross? So God's justice could be satisfied. God demands sin be dealt with. God demands the wages of sin is death. Jesus died for us. He died in our place. So you and I could have a Savior to forgive us of our sin. That's why there's a cross. And lastly, if you want to go to heaven, you can go by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. God is now satisfied with sin. He dealt with it at the cross. That's why there was a cross. That's why he put his only son there to deal with this awful, awful thing that broke the heart of God, sin. Sin is the culprit. Now God sees me and you that accept him as his, as our Savior. He sees us as his children today. And he anxiously waits for us to join him one day in heaven. Until then, he leaves us here to love him and serve him and share him, promote him, that others might know the joy of salvation. God wants everybody to be saved. He's interested in every soul, everywhere. So today, our altar's open. Come talk to the Lord about somebody that needs salvation. People in the salvation box, family members, co-workers, friends, whoever. Come pray for your own spirituality, that you will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Come to the altar and say, Lord, hear my, use me in some manner to help somebody know the Lord. As we wait here this morning. And loving God, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word today. Thank you for allowing us to stand here, Lord, and open up this holy book, preach this holy word about a holy God who hates sin and who took action against sin, even by allowing your only son to die a horrible death upon a cross. But one day you said you were sending Christ back. to get all those that believe in him. You were going to receive us unto yourself. We would even be the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. We'd spend eternity with you. Oh, God, how blessed we are. Oh, God, we can't thank you enough. We can't praise you enough, Lord. We can't love you enough, Lord. Lord, 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 thank you for the grace of God that would save us. Save any person in this room here today, Lord, in this sanctuary today, Lord, that knows not the Savior. May the day be the day they cry out, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I pray in Jesus' precious saving name. Amen and amen.